Hey. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So reading from Canto 8, Chapter 4, text number 11 and 12. So is 11 on the board? Which one? Okay. So we'll chant that together, then I'll read 12, and then we'll go on. Sri Sukha Uvacha Evam Saptva Gato Gastyo Bhagavan Nripa Sanugaha Indradumno P. Rajayasir Dishtam Tad Yupadarayan Sri Sukha Uvacha Evam Saptva Gato Gastyo Bhagavan Ripa Sanugraha Indradumno Pivrajarshir Dishtam Tad Upadarayan Sri Sukha Uvacha Evam Sattva Gato Gastyo Bhagavan Ripa Sanugraha Indradumno Pirajarshir Dishtam Tad Upadarayan Sri Sukha Uvacha Evam Saptva Gato Gastyo Bhagavan Ripa Sanugaha Indradumno Pirajayashir Dishtam Tad Upadarayan Evam Saptva Gato Gasto Bhagavan Ripa Sanugaha Indradumno Pirajershir Dishtam Tad Upadarayan Sri Sukha Uvacha Evam Sattva Gatipnastam Bhagavan Ripa Sanugaha Indradumno Pirajarshir Dishtam Tat Upadarayan Sri Sukha Uvacha Evam Sattva Gato Gastyo Bhagavan Ripa Sanugaha Indradumno Pirajarshir Dishtam Tad Upadarayan Sri Sukha Uvacha Evam Saptva Gato Gasto Bhagavan Ripa Sanugaha Indradumno pi rajasir Dishtam tat upadarayan Sri Sukha Uvacha Evam Saptva Gato Gastyo Bhagavan Ripa Sanugaha Indradumno pi rajasir Dishtam Tat Upadarayan Matajis. Sri Sukha Uvacha. Evam Sattva Kato Dasto. Bhagavam Nripa Sanugaha. Indradumno Pirajashir. Dishtam Tat Upadarayan. Sri Sukha Uvacha. Evam Sattva Gato Gastyo. Bhagavam Nripa Sanugaha. Indradumno Pirajashir. Dishtam Tat Upadarayan. Text 12. Apana konjarim yonim atmasmriti vinasinam sinim haryar chana nubhavena yadgajat vip yanusmriti. Okay, read it word for word. Sri Sukha Uvacha. Sri Sukadeva Goswami said, Evam, thus, Saptva, after cursing, Gataha, left that place, Agatsyaha, Agatsya Muni, Bhagavan, so powerful, Nripa, O King, Saanugaha, with his associates, Indradumna, King Indradumna, Api, also, Rajarshi, although he was a Rajarshi, Jistam, because of past deeds, Tat, that curse, Upadarayan, considering, Apana, got, Kunjarim, of an elephant, Yonim, the species, Atmasmriti, remembrance of one's identity, Vinasinim, which destroys, Hari, the personality of Godhead, Archana Anubhavena, because of worshipping, Yat, that, Gajatve, in the body of an elephant, Api, although, Anusmriti, the opportunity to remember, his past devotional service. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Sukadeva Goswami continued, My dear King, after Agastya Muni had thus cursed King Indradumna, the Muni left that place along with his disciples. Since the king was a devotee, he accepted Agastya Muni's curse as a welcome because it was the desire of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, although in his next life he got the body of an elephant, because of devotional service, he remembered how to worship and offer prayers to the Lord. Please repeat. Sukadeva Goswami continued, My dear King, after Agastya Muni had thus cursed King Indradumna, the Muni left that place along with his disciples. Since the king was a devotee, he accepted Agastya Muni's curse as welcome because it was a desire of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, although in his next life he got the body of an elephant, Because of devotional service, he remembered how to worship and offer prayers to the Lord. Purport. This is the unique position of a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although the king was cursed, he welcomed the curse because a devotee is always aware that nothing can happen without the desire of the Supreme Lord. Although the king was not at fault, Agastya Muni cursed him. And when this happened, the king considered it to be due to his past misdeeds. Tate nukampam shushamikshanamanam. Shushamikshanamana. This is a practical example of how a devotee thinks. He regards any reverses in life as blessings of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, instead of being agitated by such reverses, he continues his activities of devotional service, and Krishna takes care of him and enables him to be promoted to the spiritual world back to Godhead. If a devotee has to suffer the reactions of his past misdeeds, the Supreme Lord arranges for him to be given only a token of these reactions, and very soon he is freed from all the reactions of material contamination. One should therefore adhere to devotional service, and the Lord himself will very soon see to one's promotion to the spiritual world. A devotee should not be disturbed by unfortunate circumstances, but must continue his regular program, depending on the Lord for everything. The word upadarayan, considering, is very significant in this verse. This word indicates that a devotee knows what is what. He understands what is happening in material, conditional life. Om Agyana Timirandasha Gananjana Shalakai Chakshu Umritam Jainatasmai Sri Guruve Namaha. Vancha kalpa truvyasya akripa sandhavevita parijana pavanevya vaishnavevya namo namaha. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasri Govara Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So it's a continuation of the pastime of Gajendra when he returns to the spiritual world. This verse, of course, is a very powerful verse. It goes into an understanding which is very unique in terms of Krishna consciousness or even the material world. The tendency for all of us is to blame someone else for our difficulties, never thinking that we had any part in taking responsibility for difficulties or problems. So here we see that the king, even though he was faultless, he accepted the curse, and he accepted it with happiness. He could see that he must have performed some past misdeeds, as Prabhupada says. And then Prabhupada quotes a verse, Tate nukampam shushamikshamanaha. This comes from the Srimad Bhagavatam 10th canto. This verse is very, very powerful. In this verse, it describes how the devotee is, as Prabhupada says here, how he thinks, how a devotee thinks. And he regards all reverses in life as blessings. So this is a very high position to take, a very elevated consciousness. And this takes a lot of practice and tolerance in Krishna consciousness to acquire this position, this level of understanding or realization. In this particular verse from the Bhagavatam, Sridhar Swami, he quotes saying that in his commentary that this verse is very important in order for us to understand how gainful it is just to stay in Krishna consciousness, regardless of the circumstances. And he gives an example of a legitimate son born to a rich man. And this legitimate son, regardless of what happens, if he just stays under the guidance of his father, and he communicates and has an association with the father, it is guaranteed that he'll acquire the inheritance from his rich father. All he has to do is just stay there and not become a nonsense. In the same way, if we as devotees, we stay in Krishna consciousness, if we follow the regulative principles of Krishna consciousness or bhakti yoga, automatically we become eligible to go back home, back to Godhead. And all we have to really do is just stay. And this verse exemplifies that in terms of, like, we as devotees will experience so many disturbances, pitfalls, and so many challenges. But if we just simply stay in Krishna consciousness, we'll go back home, back to Godhead. And Prabhupada even guaranteed that us. If we simply chant the Maha Mantra, follow the regulative principles, engage ourselves in devotional service, one will go back home, back to Godhead. Now, we see that this is not an easy thing to do. It's not easy. Just like a rich man's son, it's not easy to stay under the guidance of his father, because there's a certain type of birth one takes in that particular type of circumstance. Arrogance, conceit, independence, self-aggrandizement, lethargy, envy, greed, all these different things cause great conflict in the life of a very rich boy under the rich father. And we see so many times these things happen. I recall many years back, there was a couple of brothers, and they lived in Beverly Hills, and their father was in the movie industry, and he was very wealthy, very, very rich, but he was very strict on his sons. So they actually drew up a plan to murder their mother and father so that they could acquire the riches quicker. And they actually took a shotgun, and one of the boys actually blew his mother's face off. And how disgusting, incredible to hear such a story. But you see, if you're born in that kind of circumstance, the things that one actually has to contemplate in the course of just staying in that particular family and getting the reward eventually. So same thing in Krishna consciousness. We have to be very careful. We're here, we're executing Krishna conscious devotional service. But one must have some kind of understanding. It's like in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Bhoktaram Jagatapasam Sarva Loka Maheshwaram Suridam Sarva Bhutanam Gyatva Mansamtim Richati. There is described that the sages, those that are sages, they understand that Krishna, he benefits from all of our austerities and sacrifices. That's who we're actually performing this for. It's for Krishna. Not ourselves, but for Krishna. And the sages know this. They also know that Krishna is the Supreme Lord of all the planets and the demigods. That Krishna is the benefactor, the well-wisher of all living entities. And it says that if one understands this, then the pangs of the material world, this material world, are eradicated. They're gone. We don't have to deal with them anymore. And what are these pangs? These pangs are greed, lust, anger, avarice, independence, lack of surrender. These are the things that we actually have to fight and constantly ward off. But if we just try to listen to the instruction of the previous acharyas, and by that we can hear properly, then we can become relieved. And this Krishna tells us, that's, Prabhupada called that the peace formula. And that peace formula is present in all circumstances, even in between husband and wife, between friends, between siblings, countries. This is the peace formula. If we can just understand that, then we'll understand that whatever is happening to us, it's actually by the, ultimately, the plan of the Supreme Lord. He's like the hidden plan. Krishna's behind everything. Krishna sarva karana karanam. He's actually the cause of all causes. He causes everything, ultimately. But only the real knowledgeable person, that one who is described as vipaschit. Vipaschit means that one who actually is learned enough, who has actually learned that the real platform of happiness is understanding and observing Krishna in any condition of life. Any condition of life. No matter what may come upon us, in that condition of life, the vipaschit, the devotee who's really learned it, because they are completely endowed with desire to serve the Lord by devotional service, they can, in any circumstance, remember the Supreme Lord. In any circumstance. Look at Prahlad Maharaj. He simply wanted to serve the Lord. And his own father tried to kill him in so many ways. But he was unwavering, simply fixed in the service of the Lord by chanting the holy name. And we, in our daily lives, we have to see these things as being the ultimate goal, that we learn this science of how to, in any circumstance, remember the Lord and not give up. And this is what it takes to be, to actually go back home, back to Godhead, not to give up, regardless of the circumstance. And there's so many circumstances that'll come. But if we just have faith, we'll acquire this knowledge. Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yogi Prayojita Janana Yasi Vairagyam Jnanam Chad Ahaitukam. Krishna says in the Bhagavatam that if we just simply perform devotional service or render devotional service unto the Supreme Lord, the Transcendental Lord, one will acquire knowledge and detachment almost immediately. And if we execute properly, that knowledge will come by the service. But that is what's really important here, is the service, that we don't give up that service. We chant every day for service, but we should never give up that service, regardless of the circumstance, no matter what may come, what other conflicts may arise. We should never give up that service to the spiritual master, to Krishna. This is actually the real important essence of Krishna consciousness. And we see even Srila Prabhupada, how he struggled. If you read the pastime and life of Prabhupada, you'll see how he struggled. Look at the Pandavas, how they struggled. We see that those that are elevated souls, pure devotees of the Lord, they struggle. Now, we as conditioned souls, we may think that's some kind of karma. We may think, well, dude, what kind of karma is that? How can that be possible? How is it that that goes on? So even in the story of Gajendra, how is it possible that he was a king in the forest and he was performing these austerities, and how is it that this could happen? So Prabhupada describes that sometimes these pure devotees of the Lord, these things may appear as karma, but they're not. They're actually punishments of the Lord, by the Lord, so that the pure devotee will eradicate all of his desires immediately. Now, this is sometimes very difficult to accept. But yes, this is what happens. One can execute Krishna consciousness his whole life or her life. But at some point, there may be some punishment. But why? And Prabhupada describes that punishment is because there's something still within our mind. Just like we're here executing Krishna consciousness. But we know, if we're honest with ourselves, that there's always something in our mind about sense enjoyment. Yeah, there's something, some little thing always there pops in your brain. And you have some desire for enjoyment. And sometimes Krishna will put that devotee in a very punishing situation. Why? To eradicate that desire from the heart completely. Because one cannot go back to home, back to Godhead, unless one is desireless, except for wanting something for Krishna. This is the essence. This is how we get back home, back to God. So sometimes we have to suffer some kind of consequence in this life. But we also understand that when we suffer, it's only a token. This is a token. As a devotee of the Lord, it's only a token that we get. We don't get the full brunt of suffering. We just get like a little bit of it. Like when I was a new devotee and I was in the kitchen and I cut my finger. And the first thing a devotee, oh man, you're really lucky. That was just a token of what you should have got. Your finger should have been cut off. And then I'm thinking, oh, thank God. Krishna is so merciful. So this goes on in our life, and sometimes the punishments become even more severe. I look at King Indradyumna, he had to die and become an elephant. But we see that ultimately this curse was actually a boon. It was a benediction that he got rid of maybe he had some particular thought in his mind of enjoyment. And this is how we got rid of it, by this curse. We take a look at, what is that? Bharat Maharaj. When we read the pastime of Bharat Maharaj, he was a great king, gave up everything at a very young age, went to the forest and performed so many austerities and sacrifices. But then, how is it that he thought of a deer at the time of his death? And then he had to take birth again. Because maybe there was some tinge in the mind of sense gratification. So, the only way that we can get rid of this desire, these desires, is maybe a little bit of punishment. And this is how these devotees, these great devotees, is those that are vipassacit, they understand this, that maybe they perform some severe sinful activity in their past life, and now they're paying for that. And because they know that, they don't give up devotional service, Krishna consciousness. They don't give it up. They fight through it. They go through it no matter what the circumstance is. And all of us in this course of Krishna consciousness, we're going to be tested in this way. But we have to have faith. Just like Krishna says, Sarva Dharma Prityaja Mamikam Saranam Raja Aham Tvam Sarva Papivyo Moksha Yishami Ma Suchaha. Krishna says, if you just abandon, surrender everything to me, and this is what he wants, everything, not partial, not 75%, 85, 95, not even 99. This is how strong Krishna is about what he wants us to do. He wants 100%. And if we do that, then Krishna says, I'll protect you from all sinful reactions. And then he says, do not fear. And this is the faith that we have to develop. This faith is developed by devotional service. This is how that faith is developed. And in the course of devotional service, we get tested. We're tested by our past activities, by Krishna himself. He may put us in a predicament which is just unbelievable. How is this possible? Like when we get him in that position, we all run to an astrologer. Say, Prabhuji, could you tell me what I'm in? You're debilitated Saturn or something. Or you're in this position, that position. Oh, okay, thank you. And we come a little bit of relief. But we see that Krishna is ultimately the cause. Bhaktaram Jagatapasam Sarva Lokamaheshwaram. He's in charge of all the planets and all demigods and everything. And that's what we have to remember in all circumstances and never forget. And if we can maintain this way, then we can actually develop freedom from these pangs. And we're suffering these pangs regularly. There's so many misunderstandings constantly. And so much lack of faith from this thing or that thing. We're being bombarded with this constantly in our life. But somehow or other we forget that we have to surrender to Krishna. We have to. And this comes by devotional service. So now we can see how important devotional service is. Devotional service is our life and soul. So we shouldn't try to abandon service. We shouldn't try to like give it up. Sometimes we see devotees, they give it up. And they're not understanding. Somehow they've lost their understanding. And they, I gotta give up devotional service because I gotta do this thing. I need this thing. I got to do this. But here it's said that if we don't continue with our devotional service, we'll never come to that platform of being freed from the pangs of material existence. We'll never be able to achieve it. So in other words, it's like jumping from the pan into the fire. That's basically what happens. And why do we get ourselves in these predicaments? It's because of our uncontrolled senses and our minds. We get into these predicaments and then we do things. And we commit offenses, so we may commit some sinful activity. So all these are there. And we see that in this particular verse, this purport, Prabhupada talks about this nukampam shushamikshamana. Very, very important that we somehow understand that however and whatever is going on in my life, it's simply remnants of previous activities that I performed. And it's not some particular person that's creating this problem for me. I have something to do with it too. But only those that are very understanding of the science of Krishna consciousness can surrender to that. You know, we see that sometimes you may, you know, even see or think. Sometimes people, devotees will come and say to me, Savas, I need some help with this particular devotee. They're really creating a lot of problems for me. And this, that can happen. That's also can be true. It can happen that way. But really, if we ultimately see that this is somehow or other Krishna helping me to become more advanced in Krishna consciousness, more surrendered and more dedicated to my devotional service, then we'll become bothered. We'll become always distressed. We'll be upset. Our minds will become very disturbed. And this disturbance maybe goes so deep that one will give up Krishna consciousness. This happened in so many circumstances. So we have to be very, very conscientious, and we have to see these stories, these pastimes, in relationship to ourselves in our everyday life in Krishna consciousness. Not to think of them just as some story and say, oh wow, that's really unique. What should I get out of this? What we should get out of this is that in the course of executing our devotional service, we're going to be tested. And that test will determine how we'll make advancement in Krishna consciousness. That test will force us. And this is a very important pastime. And even like with Bharat Maharaj, about that, how and what we should do at the time of death. And we should always know that we cannot understand Krishna in any other way. What's that verse? Bhakyamam amijananti yavanyas chasmi tatvataha. Yes. That only by devotional service can Krishna be known. And then he says, if one is in full consciousness of me by such service, one can enter into the kingdom of God. That's what a wonderful boon that is. That is the purpose of us being here. We all want to go back to the kingdom of God. But we can't understand Krishna if we don't do devotional service. It's not possible. He says that so many times. There's so many verses that describe that. Savaipum shamparo dhammo yato bhaktir hokshu jay ahituki. I said that verse, right? What other verse am I thinking of? Yeah. I'm thinking of another verse, but where it's the... Bhaktaram jagatapasam sava lokamaheshwaram suridam sava bhutanam gyatavamansam sundirichati. Yes, so I said that verse also. I guess I'm thinking of some verse, but I can't remember it. Where Krishna actually states that the supreme occupation, right? Yeah. So the supreme occupation of all humanity is to develop loving devotional service unto the transcendental Lord. Such a devotional service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted. in order to satisfy the self. This is what Krishna states. So unmotivated. And this is very difficult, because sometimes we'll do some service after so many years, we may want something for it. We may feel we deserve it. And if we don't get it, what will be our consciousness? Being as it is that I've done what I've done for so many years, there have been some devotees that have blamed me that they didn't get something after being in Krishna consciousness for some number of years. And I can understand how they could, because really, as a temple president, you ask people to do things. Okay, you do this kind of service. But we have to develop some kind of understanding after a few years of how to do this service. It has to be unmotivated. Unmotivated means that we want to please Krishna. That's unmotivated. It's not that we don't deserve something for our service. All of us deserve something. We should be taken care of. And Prabhupada always used that word, bare necessities. But, you know, sometimes we think Prabhupada didn't take into consideration inflation and different things of that nature and different times of life. But really, it's always remains the same, that we should just want at least our necessities. And when we engage in this devotional service, we should eventually come to the platform where we're unmotivated for some type of material benefit or material desire. Because if that tinge of desire still is in the mind, somehow there'll be some punishment for that. And that punishment Krishna may take everything away from us. Everything. And how will we react to that? How will we actually, what will we do when that happens? Will we blame someone? Because of that, this is why? So this is this pastime, this story, and this is the meaning of that verse, Tatte Nukampam Shushamikshamanaha. That is the meaning of that. What will we actually see this particular problem as? And we see that Krishna conscious devotional service, we have to make progress, spiritual advancement, which means that we see it as serving Krishna. And if by this service we acquire knowledge, detachment, this comes from that service. And if we haven't developed those things, then we need to look at ourselves. We need to see ourselves and what we've done, what we've accomplished. Because even that one tinge at the time of death can create a problem for us. So we should take seriously these pastimes. They have a lot of potency. They're very powerful. They teach us a lesson that each and every one of us are going to have to see. We're going to have to see that within this lifetime and how we're going to react to it. And I guess we'll all see sometime or other. All of us will experience that moment. And what we'll do when that time comes. But all you have to do is just stay. I'd have to say that my only qualification is that I stayed. That's all. I just stayed here. It wasn't anything else. You know, it's not that I'm some super intelligent guy or anything. No. It's just that I decided to stay and serve Prabhupada. And that's it. That's all it is. And just by that, as we see here, as Sridhar Swami states in his commentary, that all we have to do is just stay in Krishna consciousness, no matter what the circumstance is. How difficult it may get, it doesn't matter. Just hold on, stay. When we were new devotees, we would talk about this in the ashram when I was a new bhakta. And I'll never forget it, because it kind of made sense in those days, although it's rather silly today. But I remember being in the ashram talking with other bhaktas, and we were discussing, Are you going to stay? Are you going to go? And, you know, we would say that to each other. And he said, man, it's really tough. And then we'd say to each other, well, sometimes, you know, the key element is when it really gets tough, you just have to dive. You know, like there, and we would use the idea of like a submarine. You know, when you get into a submarine, you pull the hatch and you just dive, get out of those rough waters. Or you just dive into your sleeping bag and take rest. Or you dive into a big, huge plate of prasadam. But very rarely did we ever talk about diving into chanting Hare Krishna. We just wanted to figure out how to get rid of this suffering condition. So as we progress in spiritual life, we have to know what to take shelter of. At one particular point, we take shelter of something. But as we progress in spiritual life and Krishna consciousness, we have to take shelter of the proper remedy. And that way we can stay. And that proper remedy is, of course, devotional service. We shouldn't run away from it. We should grasp it. You know, we should demand it. I need this. I got to stay in Krishna consciousness. Give me more. How much more can I take? Don't take it away from me. Give me more. That's what we have to learn to do. Take shelter of it. And if we do, then you'll go back home to the kingdom of God, according to that particular verse. This is what the result is of that. So let us take shelter of devotional service. Okay, so today we're going to read about Vrindavan Das Thakur a little bit too. There's not much about him, but I'll read a few things since it is it's a disappearance day, right? So, Vrindavan Das Thakur. Srimad Vrindavan Das Thakur's mother's name was Sri Narayani Devi. Narayani Devi was the daughter of Srivas Thakur's brother. After the disappearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srivas Thakur went to live in Kumarhatta. Srivas Thakur had three brothers, Sri Patti, Sri Ram, and Sri Nidhi. He also had one son, but at a young age, his son passed away, returning to the Lord's supreme abode. Srivas Thakur had previously lived in Srihatta, but because he wanted the association of devotees, he went to live on the banks of the Ganges in Navadvip. When Mahaprabhu revealed his divinity in the house of Srivas, showing his true self to the assembled devotees there, Narayani Devi was only a four-year-old girl. In the Chaitanya Bhagavat, it is written, "The golden moon, Sri Gauranga, revealed himself as the soul of all souls. At that time, he ordered Narayani, the four-year-old girl, to chant the name of Krishna. Although she was only 4 years old, she became mad with love of God, and crying, 'O Krishna,' she swooned in ecstasy as she laid on the ground in a trance of bliss, her eyes filled with tears, overwhelmed with divine love." Narayani Devi's son, that little girl, grew up, was Vrindavan Das Thakur. In the Chaitanya Bhagavat, he has written of how Narayani was the object of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's affection. Quote, "As a result of her great piety, Narayani would get whatever remnants the Lord might leave after eating. Although she was only an unschooled little girl, the Lord would favor Srivas Thakur's niece by giving her the leftovers of food touched by his holy lips." End of quote. Can you imagine get the remnants of Lord Chaitanya? Unbelievable. Indeed, it was by the mercy of the Lord's prasad that Vrindavan Das Thakur took birth in the womb of Narayani as the incarnation of Vyas. Sri Gauranga and Sri Nityananda were the very life and soul of Vrindavan Das Thakur. About the father of Vrindavan Das Thakur, little is mentioned anywhere. Apart from his relationship with Narayani, Vrinava, not much is known of Vrindavan Das Thakur's ancestry. So I guess his father left early. In the commentary on the Chaitanya Bhagavat, Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur quotes, "At the ancestral home of Malini Devi, the wife of Srivas Thakur, Vrindavan Das played as a small boy growing up. There he was nourished and cared after just like a valuable gem." One may find many facts regarding the life of Vrindavan Das by going to Mamagachi, the village where Sri Narayani's wedding took place. Soon thereafter, in Magagachi, while Vrindavan Das was still within the womb, Narayani became a widow, so his father died. In the small room of a poor brahmana, she lived in great poverty and hardship as a maidservant in the house of Vasudev Dutt. Vrindavan Das Thakur was born and soon began his studies. Vrindavan Das Thakur took birth 4 years after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted sannyas. When Mahaprabhu had disappeared from this world and entered into his Aprakrita Lila, Vrindavan Das was barely 20 years old. Soon thereafter, Vrindavan Das Thakur accepted initiation from Sri Nityananda Prabhu. He is Nityananda's eternal servant. Sri Vrindavan Das Thakur went with Sri Janavi Devi to the great festival in Kituri Gram. The poet Sri Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami writes of the endless glories of Vrindavan Das Thakur. Quote, "Krishna's life was written in the Bhagavat of Vyas. The Veda Vyas for Sri Chaitanya was Vrindavan Das. Vrindavan Das has called his book the Chaitanya Mangala. Whoever hears his book, no grave misfortune shall befall. Who reads it knows the glories of Chaitanya and Nitai, and knows what Krishna Bhakti is and how it is and why. His book contains the essence of the holy Bhagavat and shows what Krishna Bhakti is and what Bhakti is not. An atheist who hears the Thakur's words will soon relent and join the ranks of saintly men whose souls are heaven sent. No ordinary man can sing of God as he has sung. The Lord himself has spoken through the Thakur's holy tongue. I bow a million times before the holy lotus feet of Sri Vrindavan Das, whose verses are so sweet that one who reads them shall be freed from this dark mortal earth. I bow a million times before the place where he took birth." End of quote. Vrindavan Das Thakur ki jai. Okay, we're late. Thank you very much. Yeah. Thank you.